Good afternoon. Now, many of you may be expecting to hear the voice of Bob Knowles, and that's usually who I expect to hear at 4 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon in this time spot, when we bring to you via 3ABR the Health Check program sponsored by Otway Health. Now, I'm feeling particularly nervous about this situation with not having Bob opposite me to give me my cues, but I'm Deborah Chiraza, the CEO of Otway Health, and I'm pretending to be Bob today. Now, there's lots of people I've thought I would pretend to be in my life, but Bob was not one of them. So I'm not sure that I could do Bob justice, so I'm not even going to attempt. But we miss you, Bob, and we hope you're well. And I'm delighted to be able to be here today to present our regular program, Health Check, and to bring you some news and updates from our local health service, Otway Health. First of all, I would like to give a bit of a shout out and an enormous thanks to all the people who sponsored me and supported me with lots and lots of warm wishes when I did the CEO sleep out 2 weeks ago. On our last program, I talked about heading to Melbourne on probably the coldest day of this winter season, the heaviest rain, and it was very cold indeed on the concrete beside the Yarra River. But it was worth it. I was able to raise $2,700, and I was so thrilled with all the support and encouragement and warm wishes that I received. Enormous thanks. And I'm actually thinking about maybe there should be some crashing by the waves in the future down here in Apollo Bay, and I might see how many locals I can get to join me and think about it for next year, because I think there's some really strong community spirit and we could do even better next year. And at this time, I also bring to you a bit of an update of what's happening at Otway Health. And I've got two things I want to remind people of. The Pilates program for term three will be commencing again on the 11th of July. And, of course, bookings can be made through Otway Health, 5237 8500, and ask to speak to Louise, and she will no doubt be able to direct you and book you in for the sessions that you wish to attend. And the other reminder is that our active play program for children, Moving Monkeys, is about to commence again for term three also, and that commences on the 18th of July. And so please, please, please give us a call and book your kids in for that program, 5237 8500. Those of you who listen to us regularly know that what we do with our spot here is bring to the community news and information about what we can provide through Otway Health. And it's not just us who provide services. We're also in collaboration with many other organisations to help bring services to our community rather than our community needing to go elsewhere. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about one of the organisations that we collaborate with, and we're absolutely delighted to be able to have two guests here with me today. I'm not sure how I'm going, Bob. How am I checking in, Bob? Are you listening? I'm going to try and do a Bob introduction of our two guests and let you know who they are. My first guest you've heard before. She has joined me before on the program, and it is Nicole Steers, Otway Health's Director of Clinical Services. And before she joined us in Apollo Bay, Nicole was working at Dental Health Services Victoria. And I'm sure that experience and her previous role will join the conversation today. And our other guest, we're so thrilled to be able to nab him to come and join us today. He happened to be in town and we saw the opportunity was too good to miss. And we're so thrilled, Michael. Dr. Michael Smith has joined us. Dr. Michael Smith is a dentist, and so that will give you the clue that today's program is all about teeth and dental services. So we're going to kick off and talk about the dental services. So, hi, Nicole. How are you?
Hi, Deb. I'm really well, thanks. How are you?
Very well. You've got beautiful teeth smiling at me there.
Oh, my teeth were very well looked after by my parents, which I'm very thankful.
And a dentist or two.
A dentist, I'm sure, along the way.
Great. And Michael, welcome. Thank you.
Thanks, Deb. Thanks for having me down here today.
Oh, we're so delighted you would join us. It's great. So obviously we want to talk about the dental services that we can bring to Apollo Bay via the mobile dental van. But first of all, Nicole, I thought I'd get you to kick off. And just before we get into the opportunity to pick Michael's brains and all the wealth of knowledge he's going to share with us, I thought I'd just ask you to let people know, what do Dental Health Services Victoria actually do?
Okay. Well, what Dental Health Services Victoria are, Deb, are the lead agency in the public dental sector in Victoria, and they're responsible for public dental services for the Royal Dental Hospital, which is in Carlton, and they purchase services from over 50 agencies across the state. So our listeners probably won't realise that in amongst many of the community health services and public hospitals across the state, many of them provide dental health services on behalf of Dental Health Services Victoria.
So this is where I want to get Michael to join us, Nicole. Who's eligible, Michael? Tell us about the people you want to see.
I think in general, the majority of patients that we see are people with healthcare cards and pensioner concession card holders and their dependents. But certainly our priority groups would be children under 18, where we virtually see all children, whether they're pensioner concession card or not. Pregnant women, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, people with mental or intellectual disabilities, refugees and asylum seekers. They're our priority groups, homeless people as well. But for the service we offer down here in Apollo Bay, and I just dropped in to see the van and check on the young ladies that are providing the service this week, and they certainly told me they've had a very busy week. We virtually see everybody down here, so we also run it as a private as well, so people that would be ineligible for public dentistry can still access service down here.
So obviously it's a valuable service, and we're going to talk more about that, but you've hit a chord with me. Refugees, homeless people and pregnant women, three of my passionate interest areas. So would they make up large percentages of the services offered?
Well, certainly in Geelong at our Corio clinic, we see a lot of refugees. Pregnant women we don't see enough of, and that's something we're going to be looking at in the coming year. With the same with homelessness, so I'm working with the regional homelessness people. So we'll actually provide brochures with a card so that they can just bring the card to the clinics and they won't have to go into a great explanation about their circumstances. So we think that's been trialled in Melbourne and worked well. So we'll be rolling that out across the region, right through from Geelong through to Hamilton and Warrnambool. So hopefully that will work well.
On that note, Deborah, it might be worth noting, just talking about pregnant women, that interestingly, two-thirds of pregnant women who present to public dental clinics have untreated decay. And that's really quite extraordinary statistics, and it's one of the key, I guess, strategic initiatives that Dental Health Services will be looking at in their strategic plan, which goes for the next 5 years. And another interesting statistic on top of that is only 34% of eligible women aged 18 to 44 we treat over a two-year period, and Michael would certainly see that in the clinics that he's managing. It's quite extraordinary that we offer this service, and yet there's still such a number of people who are eligible who don't actually partake of the service.
And so that would probably be something, Michael, that you'd always be interested in, on how can we get the health promotion and the message out to more people to get people to have the treatment that they're entitled to.
I think so. I think I did bring some statistics with me. Because
we like that.
Certainly with the work we do. I mean, with Bowen Health, we work in partnership with Colac Area Health and Wathaurong Aboriginal Health Service and the local health centres as well. So certainly in the and Apollo Bay falls into the Colac Area Health catchment. So in a two-year period, we actually saw 58.9% of children in the region and 37.6% of adults. And so on. You know, in total, about 46% of the local population have visited our public clinics, whether they be the static clinic in Colac or the mobile vans. And that compares to the state average of about 30% for both age groups. So we're really quite excited that we've been able to penetrate the market, I suppose, is the best way to put it, and get so many people coming.
I actually have some questions about you about the services in the region that I'll come back to in a minute, but one of the other questions that jumped into my head while you were talking before, Michael, I'm married to a paramedic, so I'm always interested in what happens to people from trauma and accidents. Mm. And would Dental Health Service Victoria see many trauma cases as a result of accidents or emergency situations?
A lot would go to emergency departments first, and I suppose it depends on the level of damage as to where they end up, whether they get seen by perhaps an oral surgeon or people specialising in plastic surgery. Certainly a lot would go to Geelong Hospital, and we have oral surgeons there on staff, and we actually have an oral surgery registrar who works in our clinic a couple of days a week as well. So people don't have to go to the hospital to receive that care. They can actually have it at the community health setting.
So that's a key point of knowledge, really, for the community, isn't it? To know that if they actually did have an emergency or an accident, if they went to especially an area like Geelong or Colac, they went to their hospital, there's ready access to the right specialists and treatment.
Yeah, and certainly the oral surgery registrar, we've had that position now for probably 7, 8, maybe more years, and it's a training position, and they rotate on a 6-monthly basis. But a lot of people, even from Warrnambool, Hamilton, will come to the clinic in Geelong rather than have to travel to the dental hospital or major hospitals in Melbourne. So we see that as being a great service to offer, and I think we're the only agency that offers that in the state.
Oh, we usually take a bit of a break in the middle of our show and have a little song. But before we go to our song, I wanted to ask you, Michael, to give our community here in Apollo Bay and our catchment area an idea of what services are across the whole region. Because as you and I know, this is a huge region. It'd be really good to know what we've got and where the public services are across our big region.
Sure. Well, I suppose if we start in Geelong, we've got community health centres at Corio, Newcombe and Belmont, and there's 6-chair clinics, and the Wathaurong Aboriginal Health Service, which is a single chair clinic. Colac has 5 chairs at their clinic in Colac Area Health, and we have the 2 mobile dental vans, which we're really excited to have been able to get those a couple of years ago through the voluntary dental graduate program and the oral health therapist graduate program, so that provided the infrastructure for them. And we have probably 2 or 3 teams of people who go out and do the kindergartens and the screening sessions with our Wide Smiles program, and that's been going now since 2013. And that's made a significant difference, I think, certainly to the kindergarten children, and we've been following many of them through to preps and grade ones and some of the grade twos, and certainly down here in Apollo Bay we do all the school, and the same with Lawn and some of the other regional schools,
So does the region go as far as Warrnambool, the border?
Yeah, the region goes to Warrnambool. So we've got Southwest Healthcare that covers Warrnambool and Portland and Hamilton, and they've got a clinic in Camperdown as well. So, but we've had our mobile clinics this year. We extended the range. We were invited by Terang and Mortlake to have the service go down there.
We'll come to the vans in a minute, but we might take a break and have a song first, Michael,
no worries.
Because I've got lots of questions about the vans. Now, that's an interesting song that we've played today, given that last time I chose a Beatles song. And, yes, you're starting to gather now that I'm a bit of a Beatles girl. That's giving away my age and the era that I was a teenager. But never mind, there's not many people that can beat a good old Beatles song, especially when I'm 64. Michael, I'm really, really keen for us to hear a bit more about the mobile vans and how they came about and the work that they do and deliver.
It's it was an interesting story, because we had the Bowen Regional Oral Health Plan, which I wrote in 2009, and certainly Linda West, when she was here, was very adamant about trying to get a service located in Apollo Bay. And as it transpired, there, as I said before, there was the voluntary dental graduate year program, and that came with infrastructure funding. And there was nowhere we were going to build another clinic. So we put in for a mobile dental clinic. So, and it was, which was actually built by an engineering company in New South Wales who specialised in fire trucks. So we thought, I think that we thought that they'd actually made vans before, but it, as it turned out, they probably hadn't. So it was a very steep learning curve. We needed to make sure that the van, the, or certainly van one, was under 4.5 tonnes, so we, anyone could drive it. And it's fully self-contained, so as well as at the moment being down at the foreshore and plugged into the power, we can run on generator, we have a steriliser, we're fully self-contained with water, and probably better equipped than most of our static clinics. And then the following year, they had the voluntary the oral health therapist graduate program, which also came with infrastructure. So I was quite fortunate that the company that was facilitating the programs agreed to fund us for a second mobile van. So we made a lot of modifications to that and included a wheelchair lifter as well and stabilizers, so we don't have to look at totally flat ground, which is hard to find even in Apollo Bay, which surprised us. There's always a slope. So and we've got a fantastic team of predominantly young women who come down in pairs and stay, generally usually stay the week, and they certainly enjoy it. I think they enjoy each other's company, they enjoy the independence. They've had fantastic feedback from the local community, which I think encourages them even more, and they certainly enjoy it. I think the people in the communities that we visit enjoy them being there. They've certainly been made very welcome if they go out to the local pub for dinner. And yeah, so we rotate the staff through probably on a 3 or 4 week basis, mainly oral health therapists, but this week we've got a dentist down here because we're predominantly doing adults, whereas during the school term we would be located at the schools and doing school children, and that's where the oral health therapists come in.
It's certainly one of the legacies that we often talk about at Otway Health from Linda West when she was the CEO here, that she worked so hard to bring the service to town, and many people are extremely grateful and continue to be so. And it's probably one of the most frequently asked questions we receive at Otway Health: when's the van going to be in town? And so obviously we love and are very proud of the fact that we can keep promoting that service when it's coming to town. It's a bit like, is the circus coming to town? No, more exciting is that the dental van's coming to town. So we really, really are thrilled that we can continue with that. So it's, do you think the dental van service is a long-term program that will continue? Because it certainly helps a lot of people.
Yeah, I'd certainly hope so. I mean, we keep being asked to go to other places. It's funny how we change things. So, because I said to the girls, well, what's happening this week? And they said, oh, well, this van's going to Hampton Special School at Cobden, and van one, which is being serviced this week and last week, is coming down here, and that'll be located at the school. So we're on the road most of the year, except perhaps for the school holidays at Christmas. And, you know, as I said, we've expanded down to Terang and Mortlake. The van spent 3 months down there at the start of the year, and seeing virtually all the children down there. We go to Lavers Hill, Simpson, Lawn, Aries Inlet, aged care facilities. We try to cover all bases, I think, as best we can. Yeah. And often
fantastic.
It's the case of the children come first, the mothers come second, and dad might turn up later if we haven't killed them.
Sure.
I think that's always encouraging that we actually, there was a chap when I was just down there just coming in and saying, well, can you help me because I've got a toothache and I need some roots extracted. And the girls just jump in and go, yeah, we'll make you an appointment.
So, Nicole, I was going to focus on the bad side of the story for a few minutes and then come back to Michael so we can finish up with the good aspects of dental hygiene. And I was just wondering, can you tell us about what some of the factors are that influence dental health and oral health?
Yeah, absolutely, Deb. I guess the key ones are smoking, fruit and vegetable intake, the amount of fizzy drinks that you drink, and I guess...
So fruit and veggies, what the... bad or good? They're part of the good. Good. They're good group, aren't they?
Yes, it's a bad intake.
The bad is smoking. Yeah. The bad is sugar.
And sugar. And fizzy drinks are, and I guess the thing around fizzy drinks is it's not just, you know, your Coke and Fanta and all those sorts of things that we're really familiar with. It's things like having a look at any of the drinks that you or your children are partaking in, and things like orange juice. Often we think orange juice, fresh oranges, that's got to be good. And when you actually have a look at the sugar content of orange juice, it's quite extraordinary. And some orange juices are only about a teaspoon off the same as Coke. So you really need to have a look at the labels. Others are some of the sports drinks, very, very high in sugar. So I guess the message is to make sure when you are purchasing drinks for yourself or your family to really have a look at the content.
So, Michael, as a dentist, I went to school in the era where we used to get a free bottle of milk each in the morning for play school. And the reason we got that is because it was believed to be good for our dental health. So are dairy products and calcium still considered one of the highest?
I think so. I think we'd certainly encourage people to drink milk and water. Again, I was brought up probably in the 50s, I hate to say it. And we didn't have soft drink, but we still had fairly bad decay. And I think because that was pre-fluoride and there was still a lot of sugar in being consumed. It always takes me back to, I think it was a minister in the Whitlam government who said sugar was a second-class poison and a third-class food. And I think that still stands. It's probably what causes all of our problems, whether it be obesity or whether it be dental disease. And dental, you know, cavities are certainly preventable. And I think that's the way we need to look at it.
What a perfect segue into dental and oral hygiene. So let's kick off with some tips on how to make sure that we look after our teeth.
I think what I'd like to say, I go to a lot of population health conferences more so than I do to dental conferences. And I think what we are looking to do within Bowen Health and Colac Area Health is to have a health promoting practice. So that considers factors such as access, which is certainly where we've come into with our kindergarten programs, our school programs, and our mobile vans. So we're actually taking the service to the public rather than asking them to come and sit, you know, drive for 45 minutes to come to a clinic. Prevention, treatment options, referrals, and workforce innovation. So we've changed over the years from being predominantly dentists to having probably half of our clinicians would be oral health therapists who can treat children and adults for hygiene. So what we're looking at is changing behaviour and improve and really including the patient in the discussion. I mean, we want people to participate in their health. And at the moment, at Colac, we're piloting a program where people can be screened for diabetes, and we're blood testing with HbA1c blood tests. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it might not surprise some, but the majority of the adults that we've seen in the pilot are at intermediate or high risk of diabetes, and their dental experience has been rather poor as well. They've got high levels of decay and periodontal disease.
So when I think of health promotion and dental hygiene, I think of the girl in the Grease movie with the big smile and the Bucky Bucky Beaver ad and the big toothbrush. But there's so much more to dental care than that these days, isn't there? And the flossing and the little miniature brushes that you can buy now, are all those things good or bad?
No, absolutely essential. With our Kinder White Smiles program, which has been running since 2013, we actually asked the children, you know, how often do you brush your teeth, or do your parents assist in brushing your teeth? And for the children whose parents brush the teeth, they have a 50% better outcome than if they're for 3 and 4 year olds. And certainly here in Apollo Bay, probably close to 40% of the kindergarten children have either frank decay or early lesions developing. So I'd certainly encourage parents of young children to be brushing the children's teeth a couple of times a day, not to snack after they have brushed their teeth, and certainly avoid any bottles for babies and taking them to bed, and certainly to reduce the sugar content. And as we said before, you need to look at the labelling, because often a lot of the drinks are stacked with sugar. And salt as well, I suppose, is also added to a lot of foods, and we can do without that too.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a very strong message for us to finish on today. As always, every time we have a guest sit with us on our little health check program, we could talk for ages about the topic that we've brought to the table. This is another really important topic. And Michael, thank you so much for joining us today. And we want to see the band coming here for many, many years to come. And we're thrilled to be able to continue to collaborate with you on the program.
Yes, thank you very much. And we, as I say, we certainly enjoy being here, and the staff appreciate how warm the reception they received from the local community.
That's great. Nicole, thank you for joining us. And so our message today is big bright smiles from everybody by making sure they look after their teeth properly. Thank you.
Thanks, Dick.
Talk to you soon. Bye.